All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, sometimes hosts, but is on the show a lot. Today, it's just the two of us. And so we always enjoy being on the show. So, and we have so much to say that, you know.
I was going to say, do we ever need?
No, it's just fun sometimes to have some others with us. But we do have a wonderful radio team. We thank God for all of them as they take turns on the Amen. Air with us. They're a blessing. We just were talking before the end of this first hour today about the changes that God's been doing in this ministry. And I think one of the biggest things, Pastor Jim, is that I'm no longer so concerned about numbers as far as what come to our ministry right here locally, because we've lost a lot of people that have moved away and have all kinds of things have happened through the years, but we're still giving out the life-giving word on the air with this show and our Thursday night show week after week consistently. Don't mm-hmm. miss a beat. 9 years of this. And I thank God for every single one of those shows that are on our website, bohmglobal.com. You can go there and listen to hundreds of shows, and it'll help you, encourage you, and feed your spirit. What a blessing. Because, you know, God knows all the details he's pulling together, doesn't he? It's interesting what he's doing. I'm standing in amazement. But you know what? I have peace. I do have peace in all this.
And it's amazing. We need... Because God is so big and such a master craftsman, as it were. And, you know, Scripture says he knows the end from the beginning. And that's very comforting. I remember...
Isn't it? Yes.
That, you probably remember those. They were long, narrow post Jesus freak posters back in the early 70s.
Right.
One of my favorites was at the top, it had like a saying.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, there'd be like a hill with a cross on it with Jesus' reply. One of my favorites was, I'm afraid of the future. And at the bottom, it's Jesus saying, I've already been there.
Praise
That's
God.
That's one of my favorites. And we need to keep that in mind. He's
That's
already
right.
been
He's already
there.
We sang at the nursing home ministry that we have the first Sunday of every month today. We sang that old song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, by Bill and Gloria Gaither. And they're from my area. Yours in my area, mm-hmm. up in Indiana.
Just up the road a piece.
Just up the road a piece. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives.
Because I know he holds the future.
That's right.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen.
One more. I mean, there you go.
There it is.
I know he holds the future.
He does.
Nothing that's going to happen to me or you or any of us, actually, is going to take God by surprise. He already knows that. And that's not a call to be lazy or complacent. That's a call to get on board.
Oh, and that's a call to relax in his peace.
Yes.
Introduce this next song, because doesn't this fit right here perfectly? I love the way God does this.
You Never Let
Woo!
Go by Matt Maurer. Wonderful song.
You never let go. Realize this, listeners. God never lets go of you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear. Shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear?
Oh, praise God. Through the calm and through the storm, oh, Lord, you never let go. You never let go of me. Dear listener, he's not letting go of you. There is no way he's going to do that. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have been saved through the blood of Jesus, if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Romans 10, 9 and 10, go there and look at that. If we confess with our mouths, believe with our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when you take that action and you know you're a child of God, then realize that no way is he ever going to let go of you. He won't. He can't. Pastor Jim talked to me about this. I think people think that God's mad at them all the time. And so they think he's off somewhere else. He doesn't see everything going on in their lives. He doesn't care. He's got more important things to see about. I have heard this out of people's mouths for years, this kind of stuff. Oh, God doesn't care about me. I'm nothing. I'm just a little this or that. I just mess up all the time. I screw up all the time. I have heard that and heard that as a pastor. Haven't you?
I've lived that. Yes. Those very same things. It's like, I'm such a mess up. I'm such a mess.
Right.
How can God continue to love me?
And right. We sang it at nursing home today, though. Jesus loves me.
This I know, for the Bible
this
tells
I know.
Me so.
Yeah.
And what I think so many of us struggle with, and what takes away so much of our peace, is that we know we get saved by faith, but then we think we got to keep our salvation by works.
Right.
And no, we are called to do good works, and we should show our faith by our works. But just like you got saved by faith, you maintain that salvation by faith.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. And that's why I love that latest album by Mercy Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some great songs about grace on there.
Yes, and yes.
Walking in grace and just understanding that God isn't mad at you anymore.
Right.
He reconciled the world to himself already through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not mad at you either before you become a Christian or after. You just need to understand God isn't mad. He wants to be continually involved in your life. And by thinking you got to work your way into his presence, you, in a sense, you're kind of pushing him away. And you don't have to do that.
No.
He's as near as your mouth. When you just say, God, I need you. Now,
yes,
he's there. He's on the scene.
I think this perfectly leads us to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul says here, and remember, by the way, if you're not born a Jew, you are a Gentile, which, of course, Pastor Jim and I are, and most of the world is Gentiles. And I love what Paul says here because it brings us to a place where we see Jesus as the peace that reconciles us. And Pastor Jim, do you want to give him a little, you can read it if you want, like verses 11 through 13, kind of explain it a little bit if you would. That would help everybody understand how Jesus is our peace.
Well, Paul was talking about earlier on in chapter 2 about being saved by grace.
Like, right.
Kind of what we just talked about.
Yes, he was.
And then he said, he reminds us in verse 11, remember therefore that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, who were called basically heathen by the Jewish people.
Right.
Which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul wanted to bring it to mind to them. They were separated as Gentiles. Well, he goes on here, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. As Gentiles, we had no part in the nation of Israel.
Right.
And strangers to the covenants of promise. We had no covenant.
Mm-hmm.
The covenants obviously were for the Jewish people. The covenants that God made
right.
were for the Jews. And, you know, Paul's saying here, you didn't have those. And I think this is really strong. He says, having no hope and without God in the world, as Gentiles,
wow.
we had no hope.
Because we weren't born Jewish.
Right.
As most of the world was not.
Exactly. And, you know, he says, you were, you know, separated from Christ, not a part of the nation of Israel. You had no part in the covenants. And that's, you know, no hope.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty miserable.
Yeah.
But I love, of course, you know, there's, but.
Yeah, there you go. But.
Verse 13, but.
This is Ephesians 2:13 if you just now are finding your Bible. Go ahead.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Oh, so amen.
The blood sacrifice that initiated the new covenant spoken about by the prophet Jeremiah. That new covenant does include us.
Yes.
As Gentile believers. And it was brought about, ratified, because each covenant had to be ratified by a sacrifice.
Right.
This one was ratified by the Son of God, by Jesus. And it says, but now you are brought near.
Amen.
We're not far off anymore.
No.
We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. We who were once so far away are now brought near. And then.
Yes.
Of course, verse 14, I know, was where we were all headed.
Yep.
But for he himself is our peace.
Our peace.
Who made both groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul's talking about there is in the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles, then the court of the women, and then the actual temple itself where the Israelite men could enter in and make their sacrifices. The priests would take the sacrifices. Between the court of the women and the court of the Gentiles, there was a little wall.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't very tall, but it was enough, because posted all around this wall, it said, no Gentile can enter here. If you do, you'll be killed. That was to protect.
That's kind of a deterrent to going in there.
Well, but think about it. That's kind of how it was before Jesus. There were very few Gentiles that came to know God under the old covenant.
Right.
There were a few, Rahab, most of them women and prostitutes.
Yeah.
You know, Rahab, Tamar, Ruth, Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got God healed him of leprosy. But he was a Gentile.
There were a few, but not very many.
No,
really.
Because
the Old Testament is basically all about Jewish people. Mm-hmm. But then everything changes with
Jesus.
Everything
changes in Jesus. And, you know, praise God. We're talking about last hour being kind of anxious when God calls you to a new thing.
Right.
Just popped into my head as we're talking about Gentiles being included. Think about Peter up on the roof in Joppa.
Yes.
He sees
Acts
the vision.
Chapter 10.
He sees the vision, in Acts chapter 10 of all these unclean animals coming down, and a voice says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, never have I touched anything unclean. Well, he got that vision three times. And just
confirmations.
Just as the last vision faded, there came a knock on the door.
So like God.
And it was some people sent by the centurion Cornelius.
Right.
Because he wanted to know about Jesus.
Right.
And, you know, God had to tell Peter, don't be afraid to go with him. And here Peter, because up to this point, the gospel had only really been preached to the Jewish people.
Right.
And it took Peter, who was, of course, chiefest among the apostles, to go to Caesarea. He preached. And even then, I mean, if you read it in Acts chapter 10, you know, Peter kind of had, I see God's not partial. He almost sensed a disappointment in his voice. And then he starts preaching.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit sovereignly falls on that whole family. They start speaking in tongues and praising God. And it finally gets into Peter's head. Oh, hey, you know, these Gentiles, they're saved.
Yeah.
You know?
And God loves all of us, not just the Jews,
and
you know?
Because he says, I see now God is no respecter of persons.
Right, no respecter of persons.
And then he takes the news back to Jerusalem, and they were really agitated.
Right.
Because they didn't know what to do with it. And Peter says, look, I preached, the Holy Spirit fell on them just like he did us on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
How are you going to argue with that?
God does not segregate. He is an integrated God.
And here was God doing a new thing.
Right. Absolutely.
A very new thing. And that's what Paul's referring to here. Before, the two couldn't mix.
Right.
I mean, literally, they couldn't mix. And that was a huge issue in the early church. Because what do we do with these Gentiles?
Mm-hmm. And, they went in too on the grace of God.
Yeah. And you have to give God room to work.
Right.
And not be anxious. But yeah, Jesus is our peace. He broke down the barrier.
Amen.
He took down anything that stands in our way, including us having to be in legalistic devotion to the law in order to get saved.
Right.
You know, he took that out of the way.
Because it's all done by grace.
It's all done by grace.
Mercy and grace. And that's what it's all about. And it reminds me of God just spoke this last verse of Psalm 23 to me this morning very strongly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that, I mean, David said Psalm 23. Most people know Psalm 23, right? Those few verses. But the way it ends is so profound. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You talk about a peace, a catalyst that will stir peace within us. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say here, but something that will motivate us to realize that we can walk in this peace. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That brings tremendous peace to me. Does it to you?
Oh, amen.
We got to go to this song, and then we're going to talk more about how to hear. Oh, this is a powerful, powerful show. Tell somebody, they can still catch a little bit of it. And, of course, listen to it on the Tan Talk 1340.com podcast under Living the Good Life. And then at the end of the month, this show will be up on our website, bohmglobal.com. That's how we do this. So let's listen to this song by Lincoln Brewster. Everlasting God. I love, it's his daughter at the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
This song moves me every time I hear it, Pastor Jim. Here we go.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You reign forever.
the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
I love that. Love that song, Everlasting God. Wow. By Lincoln Brewster, and that's his little daughter. Oh my. Pastor Jim, this is the God we serve. You know, we can walk, we can run. I love that they bring in Isaiah 40 right there, because, you know, so often we get so bogged down with life and everything just weighs heavy on our hearts. We feel like we cannot have any peace because everything that's going on one in one direction or another. And, you know, we talked to earlier that so often people just, they get so caught up in all the details and all the frustrations and all the, even the failures and the doubt, the fear in our lives, that we don't walk in the peace of God like we should. We just don't do it. And I think a lot of our listeners are feeling like, okay, I admit it, I'm there. I'm frustrated a lot. I'm confused. I'm full of doubt, fear, you know. And yet, God says to us right here in Ephesians 2, where we've been, He is our peace.
He is our peace.
And who has broken down every wall, you know? The wall, yes, between the Gentiles and Jews that and all of that, but this is so much more. It's all the walls in our lives. It's the emotional hangups. It's the junk from the past that we keep playing those tapes over and over and again in our minds. It's the old things that we feel guilty about. It's the shame in our lives. It's the fear. It's the doubt. It's the worry. It's the anxiety. It's the stress. It's all of that that tries its best to rob us of walking in peace.
Amen. It's and Jesus has broken down those walls because it goes back to what I mentioned earlier. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And that's
right.
What it's talking about here. The chastisement that broke down those walls and made us whole
right.
was upon him.
Yes. And so we have to learn that it's available. Number one, I think this is a big part of a lot of the problem. People are really just kind of maybe don't know. They're ignorant to the fact that he is our peace and he's already broken down all the walls. They don't know that.
And if what you don't know
can hurt you,
it can hurt you, and it certainly is not going to help you.
Yeah.
You need to know God is peace.
Yes.
We talked about that starting with the Prince of Peace. He is peace. He gives us peace.
Right.
Paul says we have peace with God because we've been justified by faith.
Right.
We've been made right with God by faith. Believe that.
Right.
And that's a great start.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think some people think, well, I believe that. Why don't I have peace? And there's still, you know, it may not come automatically because still, I mean, we talked about the things that get in the way. Peter says, cast all your cares upon the Lord.
Yes.
For he cares for you. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 talks about rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be anxious about anything.
Right.
But by everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can't expect to have peace if we're holding on to chaos.
That's right. But some people love chaos, Pastor Jim. That's the point I'm trying. I think, don't you think? A lot of people love the drama. They love the attention that it brings them on Facebook or wherever. But I mean, the drama, the tension, the stress, the the family battles or battles at work. It gives them something to talk about.
Well, and again, it's that substitute.
Yeah.
For peace.
Yes.
And for some people, being at peace is uncomfortable because
right.
we're too used to being restless.
Oh, yeah.
We're too used to being in the middle of drama.
Right.
We just can't
sit and
sit
rest.
And relax.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, we just need to learn to take a deep breath and just sit in peace.
Don't you think, Pastor Jim, because of technology and advancements, that, you know, when you text somebody, expect an answer back right away. You don't want to text back 3 days from now. You know, I can't even imagine living in the 1800s where, you know, the Pony Express took a letter to somewhere and they got it a few weeks later and then you got the answer a few weeks after that. I can't even imagine how this generation would handle any kind of delay in anything because we are such an instant generation. We want everything right now, which contributes to this restlessness and chaotic life that a lot of people live.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know my own frustration when you live inside a mobile home and sometimes when you're sending a text, it takes forever
right.
for it to get through those metal walls or
right.
or something.
Right, exactly.
But you're right. It's we expect things
mm-hmm.
instantly, and that's a source of frustration
right.
when they don't happen. You know, we expect the world to be miraculous, but we don't expect God to do that for some reason.
Oh, that's interesting. Can we quote you on that?
Sure.
We expect the world to be miraculous. What do you mean by that, Pastor Jim?
Like miraculously fast, our dependence on technology.
Uh-huh. Right.
Instant messaging.
Right.
Texting. All the social media.
Right.
All that. I mean, even the way we shop.
Right.
With our debit cards and our new little chips and all that
yeah.
stuff. So we expect all these technological miracles from the mind of men and
mm-hmm.
women.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just as easily expect supernatural miracles from the heart of Almighty God?
Ooh, good point. Do you remember the night that Paul and Silas, and I think it's Acts 16, were in prison and they were going to either go, you know, be sentenced the next day or killed soon or something, right? I mean, it was pretty bad.
Right. They got in trouble because they delivered a demon-possessed girl and her owner, because she was a slave, her
right.
owner wanted to take them to court and had them hauled into jail.
Right. So they had bad plans for Paul and Silas. And in our own natural looking at that situation, we would say, how could you even sleep that night? How could you even rest knowing that you are probably going to be killed or at least hauled into court and punished?
God, I did your will. How come I ended up in prison?
Right.
I did what you wanted me to.
I've said different times, God, I stepped out in faith. I have done what you said. And now it's not turning out the way I thought it was going to turn out, whatever it was.
No, I'm sure those thoughts probably went through Paul and Silas' minds, of course.
And we said during this hour that we would talk about how to arrive at that peace, right? Well, this is a perfect example, the story, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Because here they are in prison.
Yeah.
And they could have sat and just bemoaned the fact, oh, God, why are we here? Why have you let us down? But they didn't.
Right.
I mean, against all logic.
Right.
Seriously, against all logic. They're in that prison cell, chained up. They've been beaten.
Right.
They're bruised. They have wounds. And they're singing praise songs.
Yes.
You know, they're singing
yes.
Days of Elijah and Everlasting
yes.
God. You know. They're,
yeah.
And they're belting out, You Never Let Go.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
All these that we've been doing today. But, you know, yeah, not those. But just the same. The concepts. They were singing praise songs, and
mm-hmm.
you know that some of the other prisoners are going, those guys are nuts.
Well,
they're in there singing about God, and yet they're facing awful circumstances here.
Right. But it says the prisoners were listening.
Because they were listening. How could you not listen?
Well, but I mean, I think it's, yeah, it's an, like, you get the idea, it's like, listening, like paying attention. Not trying to cover their ears, but...
They took notice.
Wouldn't you? I mean, here's these,
exactly.
Here's these two crazy men been beaten, and now they're in chains, and they're singing praise to their God.
Boy, will that preach, Pastor Jim, because when we're in the midst of dire circumstances, you know how to throw the devil off? Start praising God. Mm-hmm. You know how to get people around you to go, what's wrong with you? Put on some praise music. Technology now with Pandora allows us, that's just one example, to turn on that, and you can have all kinds of variety of music. And that's what I had all morning today, just absolutely pumping my house full of the praises of God. What does it do? It affects you and this brings peace when you're praising God.
Oh, yeah.
God shows up, right? Isn't there a suddenly moment in Acts 16?
Yeah, suddenly there was an earthquake.
Love it.
And the amazing thing is, even though all the jail doors flew open,
right,
you would think the building itself would have collapsed, but
right,
it didn't. But all the doors flew open, and Paul and the chains fell off. And so the jailer, whose very life depended on keeping everybody in jail, figured he's going to have to kill himself.
Right.
Because, you know, if any prisoner escaped, he was held responsible. He was the one who would bear the brunt of
right,
that. And he... Paul said, no. Everybody's here. And then the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? You know, he probably heard them singing songs. They were probably singing hymns, songs about Jesus and salvation and all that. And the jailer just, all of a sudden, his heart was moved. He said, what must I do to be saved?
He wanted what they had.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is what happens. When we realize whatever we're going through, that it's overwhelming, let's say, or it's grabbing our attention and keeping us up at night or stressing us out, or we're sitting there worried, how are we going to do this? That's the exact time to put on your music and start praising God. That's the exact time to fill your home with the praises of God, and your children are going to go, oh, what's that? What's going on? It brings peace when we put our attention on God in praise and in worship, and it turns the tide, Pastor Jim. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me that Paul and Silas, weren't sitting there in peace as they sang. I believe they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they were singing out of desperation.
Oh, no.
I think they were singing from a place of peace.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could start singing out from a place of desperation, but eventually
it's gonna
move you into a place of peace.
Ooh,
and it's kind of like, again, what Paul said in Philippians. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Here we go, praising God.
Yeah.
Let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace flows.
And, you know, okay, so let's make those points. Number one, when you are in the midst of the worst chaotic mess in your life, sit down, take a moment, sit down and think about, wait a minute, is this the way that I want to finish out this day? In this kind of chaos, this kind of stress, this kind of worry, this kind of panic? Or can I do something about it? Yes is the answer. You can, and let's do something about it. What are you going to do? You're going to do what Paul and Silas did. And you probably aren't facing death in your situation, you know, or jail time. You probably aren't. But if you were, now's the time to start praising God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, because of technology, a wonderful resource with Pandora to pick out the style of music you like, get it on your speaker, whatever, and start praising God and watch. I mean, try it. It works. And watch what God does. He does an attitude adjustment. And one of our people Friday gathering walked in, and during the prayer time, she said, I need prayer tonight because I need a attitude
adjustment.
And she was so honest and vulnerable, and everybody was just very supportive and said, yes, we'll pray for you right now. And by the time we got through the Bible study on peace here, she said, I've had my attitude adjustment. I am better. She was praising God. She was listening to the word, and she took her peace. She mm-hmm. walked out of there with it. And we got to do this song, and then we're going to talk more about this in just a minute. I love it. This is a good show. Wonderful show. This is a great song.
Amen. Wonderful, Merciful Savior by Selah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Heard it this morning. Praise God. Ooh, what a beautiful song. Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Because He is our wonderful, Merciful Savior, He gives the grace and the peace that our hearts so long for. Dear ones, this is not something that you can walk in peace only if you're perfect. This is not something that you have to prove yourself. You have to do penance or whatever the case may be, or you feel like you have to be punished for your past or whatever so that you can have peace. No, this is a free gift. He is Prince of Peace. The peace that we can have on a moment by moment, daily basis is free. It's for us. We just have to choose to walk in it. And so many people would rather live in the drama and the chaos instead of learn to walk in the peace. And I, for one, I choose peace. And I have been choosing peace for a while now. And I'll tell you what, it has made a tremendous difference in my life in the last few months, because it's not something that I didn't know about. It's something I've always known about, but it's something that's right in front of my face right now in a new way. And I realize that because he's the Prince of Peace, I can walk in this peace all the time. It's not, it doesn't have to leave. It's not something you have one day just on Sunday. It's not a Sunday deal only. Pastor Jim, talk to us.
Well, and I think some people prefer the chaos because that's the comfortable. It's uncomfortable to be in peace because we're just not used to it.
We're not used to it.
But believe me, it's better to be in that peaceful place than having chaos flying around your head all the time.
Right.
And it's important that we understand that God wants us to be peaceful, because that's where we're pliable. That's where we're useful.
That's
God
good.
Can use us when we're at peace with him, with each other, with with ourselves. We can be better used of God that way, because peace allows our focus to be on God. Whereas chaos, like I said earlier, we're kind of darting our head around to the left, to the right, front, back. We're not focused. Peace allows us to focus on what God is doing, what God is going to be doing in our lives.
That, I just wrote that down, what you just said, because you know what? We're going to talk about that Friday night. I love that. I love that, because that is right on. This, you know, so many times people need an incentive to go after something, you know? People that are training, let's say kids in high school, college, whatever, training for track team, or I have two grandsons that have played tennis, you know, and my youngest, one of my grandsons, not the youngest, I guess, but he is on the varsity tennis team now, Justin. And he is really working at that, you know? He has a goal. He wants to be the best tennis player he can be, you know, and basketball and everything. But tennis is really a focus for him right now. And when we get our minds and our eyes focused on where we want us to be, then it becomes more attainable, don't you think? Like it is for Justin. And it's the same with peace, don't you believe?
Oh, absolutely. Because, and I do this from my social work background, you set small attainable goals.
Right.
God does the same thing. He doesn't... You know, he doesn't say, okay, this is what's going to happen, something big and huge. He's going to get us there step by step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's how he works. He does it step by step.
He does.
He builds on what came before. And we have to be able to focus on those little steps.
Right.
And not be afraid, keep our peace, because eventually we're going to turn around and say, wow.
Right.
Look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
but you know, it's got to be that front and center focus.
Yes.
Okay. So we said that during this hour, we're going to tell you how. Well, one of the ways how to arrive at peace is to put it right there before your eyes. Do you remember, Pastor Jim, people saying years ago, you hold a dime up, you know, and you put it clear out here, let's say at the length of where your arm is, you hold the dime up, you can see all kinds of other stuff out there around the dime, right? The closer the dime comes to your eyeball or quarter, the more everything else is blocked out.
Right. The more of your field of vision you lose.
Go ahead with that.
And it's the same thing. It depends on what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on your problems, they're gonna cover everything. You're not gonna be able to see a way out.
Right.
And yet you begin to focus on God, and He begins to fill your line of sight, your vision, your field of vision.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you're gonna have God working
right
in your life, and it's not gonna matter.
Right.
You know, those other things are gonna start to fall away. And I just want to quote from Hebrews chapter 12. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews had just gotten through listing all these great men and women of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, therefore, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance.
Yes.
And the sin that so easily entangles us,
mm-hmm.
and run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that Greek word for fixing means to turn away from everything else and focus on the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the writer of Hebrews is saying, okay,
good stuff.
Don't look around. Put all that other stuff aside and focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
And that's what God's calling us to do, is to focus on Jesus, not turning aside to the left or the right, not, you know, leaving behind whatever it is
right.
that entangles us and tries to hold us back. Because whether it's what we would normally think of as a sin, or even if it's just whatever it happens to be, an attitude or whatever, leave it behind.
Amen.
Focus on Jesus.
Amen.
And let his peace rule in your heart.
Oh, yes. So we have a part of this peace. I mean, we have a part in having it or not having it. And that is, if we choose it, let's choose peace.
Right. Well, it's...
get our focus.
Right. It's the same, really, with everything we receive from God.
Right.
We have, through Jesus, I mean, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe, all the promises of God are yes in Jesus, and
yes.
to which we add the amen. All those promises, everything we have, salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity,
mm-hmm.
peace of mind, wholeness, repaired relationships, whatever it happens to be, that we have in Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
But just like with salvation, if we don't believe it and confess it, it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
I mean, I was just reading the other day in Romans chapter 10, and it applies to this principle. How are they going to get saved unless they hear the gospel? How are they going to hear unless somebody preaches it? And how's a preacher going to go out unless they're sent? Basically,
right.
That's my paraphrase. But the point is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
Faith in salvation, faith for peace, faith for healing. You have to get into the word. Study the promises, believe the promises, confess the promises, and then, you know, that peace is going to be there.
Amen. 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 And so as we do those things that we're talking about, praising God, getting into the word, relying on the promises, looking for them, finding them, getting those and making this a priority in your life to go after peace. It's not something that you can put on the back burner and say, well, when I'm 80, I'll go after peace. No, if you're 40 right now, think about how much better your life would be if you were walking in peace all the time.
Absolutely.
Or if you're 60 or if you're 20, it does not matter how old you are or young you are. This is a lesson to learn right now. This is something to go after
right now,
you know, and focus on it. Get your focus on it, you know. This thing fell out of my Bible a few minutes ago, Pastor Jim, and I had to get down on the floor to get it. I know you probably saw me, you know, where'd she go? And it's a little card somebody gave me many, many years ago, and it's red, and it's laminated, and it's got a dove, and it says peace at the top. And it says, God blesses those, this fell out of my Bible just a few minutes ago. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God, which is Matthew 9:5-9,
mm-hmm.
which blessed are the peacemakers, for they are sons of God. You know, God blesses, and so it was, I don't know what translation this is out of, it's just a little card somebody gave me many years ago, probably 20 years ago I've had it. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. So it's an effort to work for peace. I mean, it's something we go after. It's not something, you know, decide today you're going to be a peacemaker, not a peace robber, like we talked about on Friday night. Instead of allowing the devil and people and circumstances to rob you of your peace, you take, you know, the wheel of this situation. You know, Jesus, take the wheel, you know. But you take, I knew you were thinking that song.
Yep.
And you take charge and say, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm not going to be a peace robber from myself or others. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Do you want to follow up with that? We only got a couple minutes here before we have to get out of here. I can't believe it's already two hours.
I know. That's so true. I mean, and another promise about peace just came into my mind. He makes even their enemies, those who are steadfast with God, he makes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Wow, what a promise that is.
Oh, that is.
And there's so much in there, but yeah, we have to appropriate it. We have to believe it. First of all, we have to know it, believe it, appropriate it into our lives, and then just imagine then what God's going to do at that point. I mean, imagine how much more. I mean, I have a hunger more than I've ever had to be used of God.
Amen.
To do what he wants me to do.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, there's things I know have to change. There's attitudes that have to change, just things in my life that have to be moved. But I could get fretful about that. And I love, you know me in old words, do not fret, it leads only to sin.
Right.
From Proverbs, you know, do not fret, it only leads to evil doing.
Amen.
So, I mean, but that's true. God calls us not to worry.
Yes.
He calls us to be at peace.
Absolutely.
Because it's when we fret, it's like we're just on that shaky ground, an unsteady ground. And yet we said before in Ephesians 6, your feet shod with the preparation, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Yes.
The ground can shake around you, but you're going to be on the sure footing of peace. And you're going to be able to conquer because you have peace with God and with yourself.
And the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that prevails over no matter what circumstance you're in right now. So take heart, my friends. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this teaching on peace, and we just speak peace over our listeners. We speak that you are the Prince of Peace, that you will so invade their consciousness and their hearts and their emotions and their bodies that they will desire to be at peace instead of in strife, instead of in discord, instead of in stress and chaos, that today, this word that has come forth today will be life-changing for our listeners, Lord, that they will make a decision right now to choose peace and choose you, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor Jim, it's a joy working with you. These full 7 years, we celebrate the anniversary today of our 7 years together, 14 years right now of this ministry, and we thank God for every radio show, 445 shows now. This was number 445. That's significant. 4 is a number for worldwide evangelism, and 5 is a number for grace. So 445, God, that's what today's show was. So we just thank you, God, for all that you've done. And reach out to us, Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com. You can email him. You can email me personally, Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. Send your prayer request to prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Pastor Jim or Betty will pick it up. Amen. Listen to our Thursday night show. It's a life coaching show with me, and that's my other name, Mama Mac, and one of our own, Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. It's a life coaching counseling show, 6:06 p.m. on Thursday nights on this station. And on Starcom Media Network. Wow. Final word, Pastor Jim. We got to get out of here.
I just pray that truly the peace that passes all understanding will guard our listeners' hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's my prayer. That's my blessing.
Amen. So be it. I agree with that. And that's the way it's going to be. So we're glad you joined us today on Living the Good Life. Tell some friends and neighbors about it. And you can go to our website, BOHMGlobal.com, and catch about probably almost 400 shows, 300 and something shows are on our website. We put them on at the end of each month. So go there and catch some shows, listen to the Word of God, and let it grow you. God bless you. Have a good week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and Pastor Jim Ellsbury. bringing the Word of God to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. See you next week.
Safely to his side. There's no need.